We go.
Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, folks. This is Dave Schmidt. I'm your host here tonight on the Sedona Connection. I want to welcome everybody here tonight. This is the May 9th program for those of you that would be listening on the archive. And it's 6 p.m. here on the West Coast. It's 9 p.m. on the East Coast here in the United States. And that means it's also 6 p.m. here at my home in Sedona, Arizona. We are getting into the wonderful time of the year weather-wise. In fact, it was a little bit warm today. We actually reached 92 degrees today here in Sedona, but it's a dry temperature, so it's a very nice temperature when it's that way. And I had a wonderful time going out for one of my wonderful hikes today out here in the Red Rocks of the Sedona area, and I was out for about an hour and a half hike, and it's always a wonderful time here. And Blanca, how are you doing this fine evening?
Doing very good, Dave, thank you. And yes, we're also blessed with wonderful weather. We're sitting out in the patio a little bit more, getting up from in front of the computer, always a nice excuse. So we've been enjoying a very, very pleasant time, too, over here.
Good. Well, I hope I come across okay tonight because I'm having to dial in my phone. We were having a little bit of a microphone problems there, and I tried something, and all of a sudden it cut me up in the air, and, I thought I couldn't get back on. So, okay, got to call in on the phone. And
you gotta be with the rest of us, guys.
Yeah, I just got a text message coming in saying that we're both loud and clear and doing very good. So that's nice. So, you there, the Blanca, in the wonderful place called Atlanta, Georgia. How are things going there? Anything that you want to share with us tonight?
No, just doing really good. Of course, I'm getting so excited about the workshop coming with Mr. M and Miss M, and we can dive into that when you're ready to talk about it, but we're really looking forward to having everyone over here.
We can do that now. We had an absolutely wonderful time in the Dallas-Fort Worth area last weekend. We had about 125 people show up, and it was a great, wonderful time. And yes, we're going to be in Atlanta on the 19th, which is a week from Saturday, and that's your home, so you and your husband Alan are going to be there with us.
That's right. So we'll get to meet them and meet some more of the folks coming through. And hopefully people are looking at their calendars. That's coming up on the 19th, correct?
The 19th. And folks, I just wanted to remind you that we have rented a larger room, so I still have lots of room available for seats. And folks, if your money's tight, remember, you can always go to the website, you can read through, and you can look at what I have is called the scholarship rates. And basically, it's a situation, if you want to be there, we want you to be there. So take a look at what that is there, and it's going to be a great opportunity also to become acquainted with Mr. M and Ms. M. And yes, they are a part of the team that is the funding source that's going to be funding our ventures here. So.
Well, Al and I have been taking some time to re-listen to the interviews they did with Tolek, and you have shared the links for these. And, of course, people can Google Tolek, and I think it's called Deep Disclosure. And mm-hmm. We're listening again because we're surprised at how much we missed the first time because we want to have some questions ready, right, to make use of having them there in person. So if you guys are coming, you may want to listen to the interviews again and jot your questions down because this is it, folks, all the rumors that you're hearing and debates you're having with your friends about what's coming down, you're going to get to hear it directly from these folks. And also, if you've been in this for a while, you've probably known that things shift and change, and so we don't know how long we will have access to these great folks in person. So while Dave is getting them two workshops while they're available to interact with us, it's really good to, if you can, to join us. Plus, and you'll probably delve into this later in your talk, but it's a consciousness thing. It really is. It's a frequency thing, and the more of us that gather together with similar aims in heart, that's a very powerful thing. So I'm just really looking forward to it for many reasons.
Yes. Just a reminder to everybody that you know, it was a little over a year ago that I had Mr. M on the program, and it was 4 days later that there was this attempt to take me out where I had this motorcycle accident, and I had totally forgotten about that and reminded him of that, and he said, yeah, he said, that happened because you had me on the air, because there are people behind the scenes that are kind of on the other side of, you know, the cabal and the other side of the fence on this issue, and they basically were really pissed off because they now knew that you were in touch with the real people that have the real money. And when that happened, he had to go totally underground. And so the very fact that they have come out and they're doing these interviews and they're being live at these workshops, it tells you that how much progress that they have made, that it's now safe for them to be out in the open, and they are working through the final issues where it's going to be safe to move the money to us. And the my understanding, see, the safety issue at the upper banking levels are now taken care of, but they're working at it for us at what I call the retail level. That's at our level to make sure that the money can get to us in a safe manner. And that's right now is what they're waiting for. So, and about 6 weeks ago, everything changed about how all this is moving forward. I am at a situation where the people who are doing all the work in doing this stuff, they have said I had to go on a complete blackout in talking about the exchange process. So I won't be going there tonight. I won't be answering any questions tonight. Even at the workshops, I have to be a little more cautious and careful. And both Mr. M and Ms. M, they are aware of that too. You can always ask broad-based questions, but you can't ask specifics about who, what, where, how much, and that kind of stuff. That is what we can't talk about that right now. But they're going to be in Atlanta on the 19th, and then 2 weeks after that, they are going to be in Minneapolis on June 2nd. Now, either tomorrow or Friday, I will be posting that workshop open for registration, the Minneapolis workshop. And I do have 3 weeks after that, I'm going to be in Norway, folks, and we are going to open up that workshop to the public as well. Now, there is a group that is sponsoring me there. They are coordinating everything, but we are going to open it up to the public, and it's going to be in Oslo. I don't have specific locations yet, but let's see. We're looking at so June 2nd, 14 days after that is June 16th, and then 7 days, so it would be June 23rd in Norway. On the 16th, I am hosting and Cindy Renard. Now remember, I've always talked about my most favorite book, the one that's changed my life more than anything else, is Disappearance of the Universe, and Gary's the author of that book. And once a year, I always host Gary and his wife Cindy for a workshop here in Sedona, and that will be on the 16th of June. And it within about the next week, I'll be putting out an announcement and registration for that as well. So you can go to my website and register for that now, but I'll just be sending out the newsletter for that. So that's the upcoming schedule. A week from Saturday, we're in Atlanta. 2 weeks after that, on the 2nd of June, we're in Minneapolis. On the 16th of June, I'm hosting Gary and Cindy Renard. It's their workshop, not mine, here in Sedona. And then 1 week after that, on the 23rd, I'm going to be in Oslo, Norway. So that's the schedule that's coming up. So we would always love to have you at any of those live locations, because it's always a great time when you have live people and everybody comes together and we're like-minded and we can develop relationships and networking with each other. And it gives you a camaraderie and makes you kind of, you know, have a good feeling about this issue that we're all participating in together. So, and Blanca, you will be there. You and Alan are going to be there in Atlanta. So when you come to Atlanta, right, you don't get to meet just Mr. and Mrs. M, but you also get to meet Blanca. So, yeah.
And that's always a lot of fun. I mean, people are just full of great ideas, very interesting people, and the energy is just terrific. And the other thing, of course, like I said, we've been re-listening to their interviews. They're really good in terms of giving their point of view of, like, current events. Which is very interesting because you can hear things or see things on the headlines, and then they've got their own take of, you know, what that's really meaning or what's happening behind the scenes. So that's going to be a lot of fun too, get their perspective on some of the things that we're seeing, you know, playing out on the headlines and 3D world, and they've got some insight about that as well.
Let's just say that they've got some very, very deep contacts about what's going on.
Right.
And I will let them address that. It's best that I don't address that, but very deep in direct contacts with what's going on in the issue on the deep state issues, I guess you could call it that, on the issues that are behind the scenes politically. They know what's there and they know what's going on in all that scene. So, yeah. And two very gifted people, very different. Their experiences are very, very unique. You know, Ms. M will you she didn't go looking for what happens in her life. It just kind of, it found her. And she realized it was something that she couldn't deny. And it progressed over a period of time till she got to the point that she was comfortable with it. And she realized that's her calling in this life and what she does. And so she has some very, very unique experiences. And Mr. M does as well. He's a very uniquely gifted and qualified man in what he does. So, yeah.
It's going to be a treat, really.
Mm-hmm. It really is. And I'm trying to think if there's anything else that we want to basically share before I get on with the program tonight.
No, I think that's all that I had to explore with you right now.
Okay. So hold on here just a second. I'm going to, Okay. I basically was talking about what's the real purpose of these funds being released. It's not just about getting rich. It's not just about you and me getting money to take care of our personal issues or to help other people out. It's a far, far bigger picture. This is a situation. Now, let me be clear. What you do with your funds is your personal business. But if you want to follow what's really going on here, there's a reason why these funds are being released. Because it's an opportunity to create a shift and change of what's taking place in our world. And we live in a world, and again, these are the things that I share in the workshops, but it's some of the themes here tonight. We live in a world that's a changing world. Now, what I mean by a changing world is the energy of what's coming into our planet is shifting and changing. At the very root of everything, everything in this universe is based in energy. Nikola Tesla said, if you want to understand the secrets of the universe, get to know energy, frequency, and vibration. Because everything in the world is based on energy, frequency, and vibration. And the vibration that we experience with it as human beings in our bodies and in our minds determines and has a predication to the awareness, to the consciousness, and to our understanding of what's going on around us. As a humanity, we've pretty much lived for thousands of years of what I would call a limited awareness situation, a limited consciousness situation. We have been placed in various types of what he called slavery scenarios. We pretty much have lived in a history where the masses of humanity have been controlled by the elite, the kings, the monarchs, and the dictators. These are the extremely wealthy, the basically ruling, controlling people that have had their control over humanity. Now, not all of them are that way. Some of these rulers were very benevolent toward their people, but yet others were quite brutal and very powerful and controlling. It always comes back to that we live in a world of that has what I call duality consciousness. In a world and a universe of duality consciousness, it means there's always going to be contrast. There's always going to be opposites. There's going to be black hats and white hats. There's going to be black and there's going to be white. There's going to be up and there's going to be down. There's going to be good and there's going to be bad. And it's the duality of the nature of our universe that we exist within. And this duality consciousness created a lot of what you would call these, you know, slavery scenarios. For thousands of years, we have lived in different forms of financial slavery. We live in a world right now where almost, I should say not, a little more than half of the world's population, which is now approaching about 4 billion people, they live on less than $10 a day. And we forget that how much of the world's population lives under that condition. If I don't care where you are on this planet, if you're living on $10 a day or less, you're living in what's called a survival mode, which means your whole day is spent just in survival to be able to acquire the means to to have the food, to have the housing, and to have the issues and the necessities just to survive and live. There's very little extra for you. There's very little extra for you to learn. There's very little extra for you to pursue your heart passions. That's half of the world's population, folks. The other half of us, the vast majority of us, we might live in a more what we call advanced or civilized world, but we're slaves to our jobs. We get up in the morning, we take a couple hours to get ready before we get to work. Between, you know, our lunchtime, we're probably there for 9 hours. We commute, we come back home. We get home, we have to prepare, you know, our dinner for the evening, take care of the family, all the issues that are there. And by the time you're all done with that, you have basically 1.5 to 2 hours to yourself before you go to bed to get up the next day and do the same thing. And then the weekend rolls around, and your weekends are usually based on taking care of your family, taking care of your home, and you really have very little time for you. That's still a form of a financial slavery. The living conditions are much better than the others, but here's the issue. You're not in a situation where your time and your energy can be placed where you want it to, and that you are financially free and independent to do whatever it is that you want to do. Those are the different forms of financial slavery that our world has put us in. And that's where over 95% of the world's population lives. Well, what's happening is we're going through a shift and change. Now, as I said that our world is changing, the primary external reason for that is because of where our planet and our galaxy is located in our solar system. We have entered in as what is called the photon band. It's this massive band of photon light energy. And we have now moved into it. We go through a 26,000-year cycle. And it's almost like we're – and these are rounded numbers, of course. But it's like we're out of the band for 11,000 years, and then we come into it for two. And then we go through another cycle where we're out of it for 11, come in for two. You know, and those basically add up to around 26,000. We have just moved into this photon band, and we're going to be there for about the next 2,000 years of human history. And what it means is we have this high quoton of photon light energy that is now hitting the Earth. It's coming into our environment. It's coming into our atmosphere, and it's coming here onto the planet. And what light energy does, it raises the energy frequency of everything. It raises the energy frequency of a whole surrounding environment, and it raises the energy frequency of our bodies. And when that happens, it also has the ability to help us wake up because it raises our awareness and our sense of consciousness as well. And when we do that, we begin to wake up to what's really going on around us. Now, there's always been small groups that are awakened that are aware of it. But when it happens on a massive scale like what we're going through now, you get to have millions and millions and scores and hundreds of millions of people that begin to wake up. Now, this is not just a quick shot overnight process. This is a process that goes on for a couple decades as we go through this shift of awareness. That's what's happening to us now. When we're going through this shift and change. And as we go through this shift and change and we go through this awareness change, also at the same time is that these funds are being released. The massive amount, the massive majority of these funds have been controlled by what we call these dragon families. Now, you can read different stuff out there on the blog sites and says, well, the dragon families are not good. They're products of the cabal or they control the cabal. It's all black hat. In a world of duality consciousness, you have both. Yes, there are black hat, cabal-based family, dragon family members that are out there. But there are also the white hat benevolent ones. Those are the ones you don't hear much about. Those are the ones that are predominantly behind the scenes. And yet they are the ones that control most of these families' resources. Now, you will hear Mr. M and Miss M will tell you because, see, they basically work for these families. There are 128 of these dragon families around the world. These are royal bloodline families, and they all trace their genealogy back hundreds, if not thousands, of years. Okay. There's a senior council of nine elders, and that council has one person that basically heads up that council. And then that one senior elder appoints a team underneath them with the approval of the whole council of nine, and this team, they carry out the administrative work for these funds. And Mr. M and Ms. M are two of the members of that team, and they get to report the assets that these dragon families have is beyond our comprehension, folks. They have been collecting these assets, these various forms of assets and gold, for thousands of years. And they've been collecting it because they knew when there would become what was called this right appointed time, that it was time to release this to humanity, to let humanity go through its evolvement process, its maturing process, its evolving to where its awareness and waking up process would take place. And that time is now. We are in that time. These families have been waiting thousands of years for where we are now. And that's the part of the change that we are going through. This change is taking place to where these funds are going to be released. Now, that doesn't mean everything's going to get pinky and rosy and great overnight, folks. Because remember, in a world of duality consciousness, you still have the opposition. But what's going to change is the what we call the power and the influence. What's going to change is the dominant factor. Where we've lived for thousands of years, where these elite ruling have not, the majority of them have not been what we call benevolent, it's now going to change where their power and control starts shifting to the people, we the people. Now, in the past, we've always had what we call these cabal. These are the ruling elite. They are the very powerful, the very wealthy, and they are also the influencers of the political powers here on our planet. In the past, they have used two predominant paradigms to control humanity. The first paradigm was what we call the information sources. Basically, they would control the information that we would receive to basically develop our paradigms of our view of how we viewed the world and our relationships with each other. Information sources were predominantly the news media, the education, and I want to call it an industry because that's what it is, the entertainment industry. And so those sources, those three are the primary sources of where we had always gotten our information. The news media, the entertainment industry, and the education industry. When we go back 30 years before we had the internet, remember, we only had four basically news channels that were dominating the information that we were receiving. We basically lived, you know, here in the United States in a public education system where 95% of all the students were in the public education system that was controlled, again, by these ruling elite. You get the example of what was there. They controlled the information system. The second form of control was controlling the money supply. The central banking system would control the world's money supply, the ebb and flow and the economic cycle that it would go through. Those paradigms are changing. The elite are realizing they don't have the control of those that they used to. When it comes to the information paradigm, what brought that changed was the internet. It was the internet that brought the change. Because through the internet, to be where we are today, we are able to bypass all of their information sources, and we are able to learn from each other. And the people that know the truth and wish to speak the truth, it can be far and wide on the internet. Before the internet, when the people who knew the truth would come out and speak the truth, would write a book, it would be squelched. They would be called conspiracy theorists. They would be made fun of. They would be ridiculed. Well, when it's starting to happen with the masses and the millions over the internet, can't do that anymore. We are freeing ourselves from the power and the control of the cabal through their information sources, because we're learning the information that is contrary to what they had put out. That's what the internet has done for us. So they recognize, the top elite are recognizing they're losing that paradigm. That paradigm does not have the power that it used to have. In the money paradigm, we're now going through that shift and change. And I'm going to tell you what is my opinion, and myself and others, we believe this very strongly. The new cryptocurrency system is what is going to take away the elite's ability to control the ebb and flow of the world's money supply. Outside of the cryptocurrency system, every single financial transaction that you and I do goes through a bank. If you want to move money from you to someone else, you either what? Write a check, which goes through the bank. You can send it through an electronic or digital transaction, which goes through a bank. You can use a debit or through a bank, or you can use cash currency, which the bank controls. Every financial transaction, the bank is the middleman. And so you can see how they can control the ebb and flow of all of that on a larger scale. Well, in cryptocurrency, if I want to make a financial transaction, I can totally bypass the bank. I don't need the bank. If I want to send money to you, I can go into my Bitcoin account and I can send some of my Bitcoin to you, and I have totally bypassed the bank. That money can go into your Bitcoin wallet. Now, if you want to use it out there in the real world, then yes, you would take some of your Bitcoin money and turn it into a U.S. dollar wallet so you can put it back into what is called the traditional system. But you can take massive amounts of your money and you can allow that to be sitting in a cryptocurrency system versus a bank. Over the next couple of decades, that's going to expand. And what we're going to see is the banking industry is going to lose very large sums, probably more than half of all of its reserves, i.e. the money that's sitting in its bank. And this money is going to end up being in cryptocurrency accounts. I saw this quote once, and it said, what the internet and email did to the information, what email did to the postal industry is what the cryptocurrencies is going to do to the banking industry. The postal industry has pretty much been relegated to becoming a junk mail industry and delivering some parcel packages. We don't send letters through the postal service like we used to. We send information through emails. Well, the cryptocurrency system has that ability to do that to the banking industry. It means that the banking industry, well, I don't want to call it a junk banking system, but it will basically be somewhat of a secondary relegated financial system, and you won't find all your financial transactions having to go through them. That's a part of the change. So the elite cabal controllers, that when they had these two paradigms, they realized those two paradigms are fading away. Now, these aren't stupid people. They're actually very bright, very intelligent people. Yes, they're addicted to power and control, but basically, they're not stupid. So what are they turning to now? They're seeing that there's a new paradigm arising in which they're going to be able to still have their power and their control over the masses of humanity. They've been doing it for thousands of years. Do you think they're just going to, you know, turn over and roll over and just walk away and let it go away? No, they will find a new way to do it. And the new way is now moving from information and money to technology. Technology will be the new form of power and control. And the technology that they will be using is called the artificial intelligence technology. It's also what is called the transhumanist agenda. This stuff is already out there, folks. Don't think it's not out there. Now, there's all kinds of different layers and levels about how artificial intelligence can come into our lives. And not all of it is bad. Some of it will actually be very good. But you can believe the fact that some of this, they are going to find ways to be able to have implants placed inside of your body, and these implants will act like a communication system. Think of a cell phone. Think of how small the computer chip technology is inside of a cell phone. Now, every single cell phone number on this planet has a unique frequency to it. I can take my cell phone, I can pick it up, and I can call a cell phone halfway around the world, and yet that phone has its own unique signature. It's because, see, what happens, it goes out there into the massive web of all these satellites and cell phone towers and relay stations around the world, and it finds that unique signature of that number that I am dialing. Well, and how many are out there? There's probably over a billion cell phone or wireless communication devices out there that can be connected through cell phone technology. Well, what's going to happen now in the new transhumanist agenda is they're going to have these nanobots, these artificial intelligence items that can get within to our body. They put out a unique electronic frequency signature similar to a cell phone number. And they can use the cell phone towers, the cell phone communication system, to find that unique signal that's tracked to you. And these nanobots get inside of you, and they operate as a GPS item, which means they can follow you wherever you go, as long as you're within communication of the cell phone tower. And it also operates as an internal microphone, which means they can hear everything it is that you are saying, and also within about a 5 to 7 foot radius around you. So they basically will be able to hear all the conversations that you are having, also with anybody else that is in close, basically face-to-face range with you. And those are the small ones, folks. Those are the little tiny ones. These are the ones that they can put inside of you, and it can come through the air, it can come through your food, it can come through the things that you drink. They can be placed inside of our food systems at the food manufacturing places. They can be slipped into our food process very, very easily. And these get inside of us, and they're almost like a physical virus is what they are. Now, you won't necessarily feel them as a bad virus, but they're inside of you kind of like a physical virus because they're only the size of dust particles is what they are. When people who control the system, you can see then how that is an ability to be able to have deep power and influence over the human race. Now, here's one of the situations about the new upcoming artificial intelligence transhumanist agenda. The stuff that they're going to bring out isn't going to necessarily come out as being bad and evil. It's going to look really good, folks. A lot of this stuff is going to be very enticing and very seductive because a lot of it is going to say, it's going to have the ability to you to have make massive improvements to your physical body and your physical appearance. We have to stop and think about how much our bodies, about how we feel, and our bodies, about how we look, how much that totally controls and dominates our lives. Our whole lives evolve around taking care of our body. We have to get the amount of sleep that we need. We have to eat the right type of foods that we need. We have to drink in a good amount of water. We basically are wanting to get a limited amount of exercising, even if it's just walking. We want to avoid any type of diseases or sicknesses as much as possible. We want to avoid having any injuries that we might go through. We want to make ourselves look as appealing, as attractive that we can to other people around us because we make judgments based on how we look at and see other people based upon their physical appearance. Nobody really likes being ugly. And you can imagine, let's imagine somebody who has been through a severe accident or they've been through basically, you know, they were in a situation where they were in a fire. And a lot of their body was burned up. And so you can imagine the physical scarring and the disfigurement that they have. Well, folks, it's not hard to imagine that we're not that far away from new artificial intelligence being able to replace your skin and your appearance and your whole face could be an artificial intelligence state. Underneath it, you're still physical. That's why it's called transhumanist. There's the human part of you on the inside, but the external appearance is artificial. And we're going to see that happening more and more. And don't tell me that that does not become seductive to people. That becomes very alluring and seductive to people. But here's the thing is, once they do one part of you of artificial intelligence, don't you think they have the ability to put a chip inside of you as well during that process? Of course they do. And they can place the larger chips inside of you. And there will be people that will volunteer to have the chips, you know, placed inside them, you know, inside their skin where you can't even see it. And these artificial intelligence chips, whether it's the nanobots that are the size of dust or the chips that are the size of a grain of rice, this is the new upcoming future world that we're going to be moving into. We are moving into what is called the transhumanist world. Now, but there is a counter to that. The counter to that is what I call living from what is called heart intelligence or heart consciousness. We are beginning to learn that there is this, and this comes out of Heart Math Institute, and this is a research group that does study around the physical heart. Inside the heart is a second brain, a very, very small brain. Inside this very small second brain, there is the ability to have this brain activated. And when this brain is activated, it has the ability to produce a very powerful quantum energy field that radiates out of you. And it begins to touch and influence with a basically electromagnetic radiation field that's a very positive one. It has the ability to influence people around you. This quantum energy field that comes out of this heart, for most of the history of humanity, it's been somewhat dormant. There were always individuals that had this activated. And then you had some of your spiritual masters that had it highly activated. And the best two examples are Jesus and Buddha. That's how they became who they were. Why that? Because they had activated this very, very powerful heart consciousness energy that was within them. And it produces a very powerful, loving, caring, compassionate energy that comes out of you. It's what's called the heart consciousness. This heart consciousness energy is there and it's becoming available to us. And it is becoming more available again. Why? Because of the increased photon light energy coming into the planet. This photon light energy has the ability to shift and change and to activate the DNA within our body. As this DNA gets activated, that heart consciousness, that second brain becomes activated. It's a part of what activates it. It increases our awareness. It increases our sense of compassion. It increases our sense of understanding of humanity is what it does. But the realized, remember, this something you have to choose to do that. Now, last week, I talked about what is called separation consciousness. We have the ability through our free will choice to decide how it is we want to view the world and how we want to view people around us. We live in a world. And I put this out in the video that I put out last week, and there was a small little, you know, two-minute video that I put out in the newsletter last week as part of the video that I put out. We live in a world where on the energy and frequency level, everything energetically is connected. It's what's called quantum entanglement. Everything in the world is connected. It means as humans, you and I, we're all connected to each other at the quantum energy field level. in this connectedness is where we feel our bonding. In this connectedness is where we have this love and compassion for each other. In this connectedness is where we have a sense of purpose in fulfilling and helping each other. But we have the ability to basically disrupt that connectedness, and that's what's called separation consciousness. We choose to separate in our thoughts. And one of the areas that create the greatest sense of separation within us is when we judge someone else. To make a judgment on someone else, you're entering into a very low frequency. You're separating yourself from that self. You're that other person. You're saying, I am different from them. I don't want to be around them. I don't like them. They upset me. They create problems for me. I am better than them. They are less than me. We create this separation. And it's a thought system, is what it is. Instead of seeing that we're connected in this quantum entanglement. Now, quantum entanglement doesn't mean you have to agree. And it can be that there can be very different issues in your life, but you're not separating from them, you're from that person energetically. If you have someone that does something that really ticks you off, or let's just be frank, someone does something that really becomes an asshole, okay? Separation says, I want out of your influence. I want out of your arena. I don't want to be around you. I don't like you. That's what separation does. When we allow ourselves to stay connected, it says, okay, I'm going to look at you. I'm going to observe what is taking place, but I will not put any energy of judgment into what you just did. I will rise above the drama, and I will become an observer versus a participant. When I'm judging, I'm choosing to participate at the energetic level, and I'm stripping the connectedness apart. I'm stripping the entanglement apart. I'm pulling it away, and I'm separating it. And as we separate this quantum entanglement, that's what creates the disjunct relationships. It's what creates the discord. It's what then becomes our anger, our hatred, our wars, our fear, our anxieties, our apprehensions, the differences, the racism, the list goes on and on and on, where we're always kind of separating. And it always is always first and foremost in our consciousness, in our thoughts of how we choose to view someone else or a circumstance or a situation. Now, here's what's important to understand. As we're moving into this new transhumanist agenda world, because separation consciousness means you are choosing, you don't consciously choose to do this. These are actions that most of us have comes from your subconscious mind. But because you are choosing to separate, you are putting yourself into a lower frequency of vibrational energy. And that's what allows you to be subject to the power and the control of the artificial intelligence forces that are within your life. If you stay in separation consciousness, you can pretty much accept and assume that you will be controlled by this artificial intelligence world. That is going to be the new default life system for humanity. That's a given, folks. That is going to happen. You don't have to take my word for it. You may think that I'm crazy. You may think that I'm stupid in saying this. Go do your own research. It's starting to appear all over out there on the internet. You are not going to escape this artificial intelligence world. It's going to be there and it's going to be around you. But you have the ability to overcome it. We all have that ability to overcome it. And overcoming that is a matter of choice. And it's a matter of staying in the consciousness of connectedness. And it means undoing the separation consciousness that has been programmed within us And it means moving out of duality consciousness into non-duality consciousness and eventually into what is called pure non-dualism. There are different sources out there that talk about this. A Course in Miracles is one of the best. It talks about what is called the ego consciousness. It talks about that the world that we live in is a holographic illusion and it is not real. It talks about that we have the ability to undo the ego consciousness. Now, ego consciousness is synonymous with separation or duality consciousness. They're basically all the same. That's the term that they use. It is the absolute best resource that I have found that talks about it, what we need to do to how we shift and change how we think. Now, A Course in Miracles is not an easy read, folks. It's not designed to be an easy read. It's designed for you to sit down, read it phrase by phrase, and to focus and think about what it is that you're reading. Now, if you want to really understand A Course in Miracles, then you read at least the first book, if not all the four of the books, by Gary Renard. There are people that say it, and in his first book, Disappearance of the Universe, it says, if you read his book and understand his book, it'll take 20 years off of your understanding of Course in Miracles. So that, and then the third source that I always refer to are what is called the Wing Makers material, and predominantly the Neruda interviews, especially the fifth interview. Dr. Neruda, in the fifth interview, talks about separation consciousness. It is the root problem of all of humanity, and we have a way, we have an ability to overcome that. They use the term the sovereign integral process. Well, when you think about sovereign integral, obviously it's going to be just the opposite of separation consciousness. What does it mean? We are sovereign. We are individuals. We have the ability to live a free will choice of an individual life, but we are also all integrated. We are all connected. And the empowerment of that sovereign integral process, because it is a process, it's a process that helps you shift the old programming, the old mindset that we have been programmed into for almost our whole lives of separation consciousness. And to do that, you start living what he calls heart virtues. He lists six heart virtues in that fifth interview. And those six are gratitude, forgiveness, and understanding, courage, compassion, and humility. Let me say those again. Gratitude, forgiveness, understanding, courage, compassion, and humility. And what he says is, you can't just talk about these things, you can't just think about them, you can't just theorize them, you have to develop them as habitual lifestyle. So that when anything comes up in front of your face, yeah, the asshole comes up in front of you, does something that really pisses you off, what is going to be your immediate reaction? Separation consciousness, our immediate reaction is we go into judgment. We go into separation. I don't like that person. We start judging them. We start seeing them as less. We start thinking them as an asshole. We start thinking that that's a horrible person. And in that process, we're separating from them from ourselves in our minds. The sovereign integral process, instead of having an interaction that is immediate of anger or that is fear-based, it immediately moves into understanding, compassion, and forgiveness. See, what it does, it allows you to rise above it without any judgment. It allows you to see the heart of the person, not the external behaviors of the moment. Because in the heart of that person is still what we would call the Christ consciousness that we all have within us. Every one of us has that. We all have deep within us this Christ consciousness, this Christ-like part of us, this very healthy, spiritual, loving and caring and forgiving life and process that's within us. But our programming of separation consciousness has overridden that, and then we've developed that as a belief system, and we developed that as a behavioral system. And what we have to do is develop a new behavioral process. It's called, you know, the sovereign integral process. It's called heart coherence. It's called heart consciousness. It's called, and in A Course in Miracles, it's talked about living the forgiveness process that helps you undo the ego consciousness. All three of those materials, they talk about that. And how does this all fit into where we are? Here's the choice. And Neruda talks about this also in his fifth interview. And as we're moving into this new era of the human race, he says we're moving into what is called human 3.0. Human 1.0 was basically the Homo erectus, the caveman era. Human 2.0 has been the era of the Homo sapiens, with a number of upgrades through the thousands of years. We're now entering into 3.0. which means we're going to be leaving behind the Homo sapien era and moving into a new type of humanity. And the default system of the new type of humanity will be the transhumanist agenda. But because we live in a world of duality consciousness, there's always the opportunity to have an opposite. And the opposite is going to be those of us that choose to live from our hearts. But it's a choice that you will have to make. And in making that choice, there will be work that needs to be done. You wouldn't be here listening to this program if you were not interested in that, if you weren't in touch with that, if you weren't willing to make that shift and change in your life. You wouldn't be here listening to this program. We're here because we are ready to move forward into this new human 3.0 of the sovereign integral process people, the heart consciousness people. By choosing to live in the heart consciousness, we also are then choosing to live at a higher vibration in our beings, in our bodies. And what that higher vibration of energy and frequency does, it short circuits any of the nanobots that gets into us. Basically, the heart consciousness becomes the antidote to the physical artificial intelligence viruses that will get in our bodies. As we go out there and live our lives around this world, there's viruses all around us. Some viruses are very positive viruses, and some of them are negative and they make us sick. We don't always know what they are. We can do what we can. We can wash our hands to make sure we don't pick up the germs. We can, if we know that there's a sickness in an area, we can choose to stay away from it. But how do you know you're not around someone else who's got the flu and there's a flu virus? Well, those are your health viruses. We're now moving into the world of the artificial intelligence viruses that will be in our bodies. And we cannot escape that. But we have the antidote. We have the ability to see when you operate from the heart consciousness, when you undo the separation consciousness, when you undo the ego consciousness, when you live from a place of loving, caring, forgiving, understanding consciousness, that energy short circuits the physical virus that's within you. It basically blows the circuits of those nanobots is what it does. And you have the ability to overcome any influence of any of the other artificial intelligence items that would get into your body. We are the ones who have the ability to set ourselves free. And one of the larger overriding purposes of these funds is to give you enough money so you have the ability to be financially free, no longer a financial slave, so you can put the time and the energy and the resources into changing your behavior to become a heart consciousness person. There will be millions of us that will be moving into that. And we're just right now on the very front cutting edge of that process. But we will do that because we have a responsibility to do that, because there has to be millions of us that's going to show there's a better way to live. Because the people who are going to choose to be a part of the transhumanist agenda world, what they're really doing is sacrificing their souls. They're giving up their ability to live from the level of the soul, from the level of the heart, and to be in control of your own life at that level. We already live in a world that billions of people live that way. They don't think about that stuff. They don't live from a soul level. They don't live from a heart consciousness level, because they're just in survival mode. Or they're trying to get ahead, or they're trying to get more money. They're in the competitive mode of trying to outdo the other person, or basically to squelch the other person, to have power and dominance control over someone else. There's masses of the human race that live that way now. This is going to be the new way that those same people, if they don't choose to change, are going to be controlled. But the heart consciousness life allows us to be in control of ourselves from a place of very high, positive, loving, caring environment. And that's going to bring some nice, healthy shifts to our world. On the external, we're going to see some really good improvements in our world. And on the external, you're going to say the cabal's being done away with, they're being eliminated. Well, yes and no. You can have some externally that have the appearance that they're being eliminated, but believe me, the elite of the elite will not give up their power and control. That doesn't just go away. There is no external savior out there, folks, that's going to come in and get rid of all the bad stuff in this world. We have to learn how to rise above it to not let it impact us in our everyday lives. So we have a world coming forward, a world that we have a choice of how we want to live and which type of world we want to live in. We have the ability to rise above all of this dominance and power and control that is there. We have the ability to receive the resources that will give us the freedom to do this. This is not something that's just going to, you know, you flip a switch and that change is going to happen. Years. It will take decades, because you are having to totally reprogram your behavior. That takes time. But yet, you can feel the shift in the progress in your life. I've been working on this in my own life for about 5 or 6 years now. And it feels like I'm a totally different person than what I was even just 4 years ago. I respond differently. I used to have anger issues. I would respond in anger if someone challenged me, if someone threatened me, or something threatened me. I would have an anger response. Every once in a while, I still do it. But I'm finding, for the most part, I find my day is pretty much lived in a position of peace. I'm peaceful throughout my whole day. I'm settled throughout my whole day. I don't get involved in the drama stuff that goes on around me. Remember, I used to live a life of drama. I spent 20 years of my life in politics. Don't you think politics is the epitome of separation consciousness world? We're always separating. We're comparing Republicans versus Democrats, liberal versus conservative, good versus bad, you know, capitalism versus socialism. We were always in this process of making judgments of opposites. That's the life you live when you live in a life of politics. I lived that life for 20 years very deeply. I don't do that anymore. I find I can see stuff that comes up politically. I look at it, I observe it, and I just rise above it. And then I chuckle and I laugh, because I laugh and says, well, you know, I used to make this judgment. I used to make that judgment. And the laughter helps. Laughing at it chuckling at yourself, chuckling at the environment. It helps you to keep that lightheartedness is what it does, and it helps you to see it from a different perspective. And see, I don't make judgments in politics anymore. I just let them be because I understand that is the world of separation consciousness, and I am moving beyond it. And so in many ways, I kind of become apolitical, if you want to say that. I still have the sides that I agree with. I still have the sides that I believe in. But I don't judge anybody who's different than me. I just let it be because I understand politics is one of the primary weapons to keep us in separation consciousness. And I don't want that weapon having its influence in my life. I refuse to allow it to have an influence in my life. So you feel this difference. You feel progress. You feel your own growth. And when you begin to experience that and you begin to taste that, it's like you hunger for more of it and you can't get enough of it. Because with that comes what I call the presence of heaven. See, in heaven, there is no separation. In heaven, there is no judgment. In heaven, there is no anger. In heaven, there is no fear. There's nothing but love, acceptance, and having a place of peace. And you allow yourself, as you change your behaviors, you allow yourself to move into that, is what you do. You move into that as a form of a lifestyle. This is the world that we have coming to us. This is the world that we will have the choice of what we want to do. The default system will be the transhumanist agenda, and that is an agenda that is designed to keep us in separation. Because if we can be kept in separation, we will continue to separate. We will continue to fight. We will continue to war. We will continue to have a lot of very painful disagreeing and problem issues in our lives. But when we move into heart consciousness, we learn how to rise above that because we recognize that it all starts first and foremost in our minds. It's in the minds that we choose how we want to live. But to live the heart consciousness, it takes a conscious choice to move into that. There are some systems. First of all, there's a lot of different paths that people can take to move into that. There are different avenues, different paths, different belief systems. But there are some that are faster and more productive than others. And I believe what the Course in Miracles says, this is not for everybody. Not everybody's going to adopt this. But if you want to move into the heart consciousness, this is the quickest way to get there. If you take this and make this be a part of your life, read it, study it, do the workbooks, make this become a part of your life, you'll move into that heaven state faster than any other way. That's what it says about itself. It's not the only way, but it is the fastest way. And I've come to understand that. It's been a part of my life now for almost 7 years. And I absolutely love it. So with that, that's kind of wrapping up what I wanted to say tonight. And it's basically to kind of do a quick summary is that we live in a world that's a changing world. The energies of our environment, our surroundings are changing. We have this photon band energy that's creating this rise, this increase of our awareness and our consciousness. We've lived in a world where these cabal have these controlling paradigms. And in the past, their paradigms are basically information sources and money sources, and they control those. And they're losing those control, so they're now moving into a new paradigm. They're moving away from the paradigm of information and money and moving into a controlling paradigm of technology. And it's the artificial intelligence world will produce what is called this transhumanist agenda. Now, not all artificial intelligence is bad, but yet it has the ability to control. And you know, and it's important to understand the controlling artificial intelligence that the cabal will bring, most of it will appear to be very enticing and very seductive. But what happens if we move into that artificial transhumanist agenda world, we basically lose control of our own soul. we lose control of being the people that are really in charge of ourselves at the soul level. And to do that, to overcome that, we move into what is called the heart consciousness lifestyle, the sovereign integral process. And it's there that we have the ability to move into that and to live what is called that sovereign integral heart intelligence lifestyle. That's the summary of tonight's message. And with that, Blanca, what would you like to share with us and what are your comments?
Well, it's excellent observation. And one thing that kept on just emerging as you're talking is that, yes, we're getting some relief in terms of the funds. And, yes, the control that the cabal is exercising is going to be loosened up in a certain sense. However, the message I'm hearing is saying, hey, it's not that we're going to be able to rest on our laurels. Our game has to be upped a bit. We've got to be a little bit more real and authentic and genuine. So it's almost like, you know, those video games when you keep on progressing and you know, right? And the game changes. It's, oh, now there's a lot more things coming at you, but you got bigger weapons, right? So it's kind of like that. So, okay, we're winning the round of being controlled by financial system and information because we're waking up to that. We're seeing really that the money is just an artificial system pretty much set on capturing our wealth and limiting our capacity to live a full life. And we're also recognizing that all the information systems are really just feeding us a program way to see reality. So we're waking up to that. Okay, so now what's the next thing? Well, all this beautiful, enticing technology, which you point out, there's good and bad. So even if we look at the technology we're working with now, there's good and bad, right? So it sounds to me like you're saying, hey, guys, you got to up your game. There's going to be a new default system, and if we go to sleep to that, we're back in the same trap.
Yes. We live in a world of duality consciousness, a universe of duality consciousness, and it always has its contrast. It always has what is called the good, the bad, the white hats, the black hats. But we're living in a world that's going to be changing, and with that, we have the ability to shift how we want to change. And yes, we are the ones that are going to get to participate with the coming forward of these funds. But you can receive the funds. But if you don't do this work, you'll find yourself still deeply controlled in the artificial intelligence world. And the funds, they're external. They don't change internal issues. Now, having the fund can help you change your internal issues. But at the end of the day, that's the real issue for what is there. And it's what I said, whatever the coming forth of these funds, they're neutral. It's neutral energy. What are you going to bring to it is going to determine what your outcome of that is going to be. If you bring separation, if you bring anger, if you bring judgment, if you bring fear into this money, these funds will just expound that. You're going to find more anger, more fear, more separation, more problems. They will not. They may give you a temporary feel good, you know. They may relieve you of your indebtedness. They may let you go take a vacation or buy a really nice house or car. But once those things fade away, you're back to having problems again. But if you bring into this heart consciousness, it expounds that. It increases that. And it helps you live and move into that lifestyle. That's what it does. So it's always a matter of choice. And the externals are just external to the internal choices that we choose to make.
Yes, it's really interesting. You mentioned before Course in Miracles, which is a very powerful practice. Then you mentioned the Wingmakers material. You've talked about that before with the practice of the heart virtues. And really, from my experience of both of those approaches, they're trying to assist us in dissolving all that has really been illusion about us, about our own selves, who we think we are, how we see the world, how we interact, as you mentioned, how we respond. And so these practices, in my opinion, are getting us to be more real, more authentic, or more divine. But the opposite is going to be this transhumanist they're going to say, oh, yes, you can be better and more beautiful and live longer and be smarter, you see? But it's more of that artificial false illusion that's going to be the temptation.
You know, what I didn't go into tonight, and I do bring this out in the workshop, and this is quantum physics science is bringing this out, and it's indisputable. It's hard to grasp your mind around this, but the fact that science is showing this is not a debatable statement. It's a matter of choosing to understand it. And that's the fact that we live in a world, it's a holographic illusion, and it's not real. Everything that we experience around us is a part, it's all holographic, it's illusionary, and but yet we choose to believe it's real, so therefore it becomes real to us. And the transhumanist agenda is to keep us stuck in the fact that this physical world is a real world, and keep us stuck in the fact that we think it's all very real. And by living in the holographic illusion world, your pain and your problems will continue. The real world is beyond the holographic illusion. The real world is always a world of internalness. It's always the world that comes from the heart and what you choose to live from that place. And the external world is out there. It's what's called the world of form, and its purpose is to reflect back to us the areas that we have to heal in our minds, the areas that we have to undo the ego or separation consciousness. That's the purpose of the experiences that we have in our everyday lives as things come up in front of our face. It's always the important thing is the experience of the moment, because in the experience of the moment, you get to make a choice. You get to make a choice that says, okay, if this asshole is real, then you'll interpret that as a real asshole, and then you'll stay in that condition. And you'll stay in that world of separation, that world of pain. But if you realize, oh, wait, this is just a holographic illusion. What that person did is not something that's very real. It's just my perspective. But yet it comes up in front of me because it's an opportunity for me to heal. It's an opportunity for me to undo my separation. It's an opportunity for me to project out nothing but love and compassion and forgiveness. That's why this asshole came up in front of my face today. See, so it's always the choices that we make of the world we experience. That's hard to grasp your mind around. It takes a while to grasp and shift that and make that behavioral change. It's very similar.
It is tough to grasp, but all you got to do is Google it and hear all the quantum scientists talking about this. They all explain it in their own terms.
And it's out there everywhere. It's real. Quantum science is showing you, no, the world is not real. It's a holographic illusion. Okay. Now, how people interpret that differs. But your ability to grasp that is a good illustration is it was over 100 years ago. Einstein and other scientists showed us time is not real. Time is relative. There is no such thing as time. All past, present, and future happen simultaneously right now. And that's what real science, in our minds, we don't live that way. We haven't learned how to make the transition to living in a world of no time. We are constantly thinking about time. We're constantly evaluating the past. We're constantly making judgments of what we want to do in the future. Now, it doesn't mean that you can't do your normal planning, of course. That stuff is there. But it's what's called your perception issues of the past, your perception issues of the future. And when we continue to live that way, we then continue to live in the holographic illusion world. And yet, that has been there for us for over 100 years. It's non-debatable. All science accepts that. But we don't think that way. It's an example of how we have not made the behavioral change to what is real versus what is an illusion. And this is going to be, that's the illustration about how important it is for us to live in the heart consciousness world. We have to make the behavioral change. We have to make the behavioral change from what is real in heart consciousness versus what is the illusion of the transhumanist agenda.
The heart will definitely help with that, yes. But the heart does understand timelessness. And the heart does understand that externals are not real, but the heart knows how to respond to what is in the external. So it's a very interesting shift of perspective, and it does take practice because our default setting and everything that is fed to us, we're raised that way, makes us believe that the external is the real. So you got to live in both. You have to be responsible to that which is external, but what, you have to be connected with what is really going on internally, not just with yourself, but with everyone around you, to relate to them from a heart consciousness or heart intelligence. And that gives you the space, from my experience, to then practice either compassion or understanding or valor. Most of the time we're really like trigger happy. You know, the action comes around and we've got the reaction immediately, you know, and how. But if we're lodged in a heart consciousness, that gives us the space then to have a different sort of response. And in fact, if we're in heart consciousness, the likelihood that a behavior like that from another individual comes at us is lessened. So it's an interesting dynamic. And the only way to really know it is to try it and practice it and observe it for yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. It takes time to shift your behaviors. And so it will sometimes feel like it's a 3 steps forward and 2 steps back process. But it will feel like that at times. But it's happening and it's working in your life and it's actually taking place. And that's what you really get to experience with it. And I can remember when the first time that I read the book Disappearance of the Universe, it just stunned me. I thought, wow, I didn't know this and I didn't understand this and I had never seen the world that was this way. But yet, down inside, it was just jumping at me and it says, this totally makes sense. I know I don't see it that way. And I started realizing, how long is it going to take me to learn how to live this way? And I realized it's going to take a lot of work. And the first time I had Disappearance of the Universe, I listened to it in the audible version. And I caught the bigger picture, but it so jumped at me, I realized I need to get this book in the physical print. And I bought it. And the first time that I started reading the book physically, you know, I'd take my time, I would take a pen, make notes, underline stuff and everything. And the next thing I know, it would take me an hour just to go through 2 pages because I would read a couple sentences or a paragraph and it was just so stunning and it was so different. I would stop and I would think about that. And I thought, huh. And so I saw the value of the repetition. And over the years now, I've been through that book almost 10 times. And I can still go back and read it because of its repetition. I see it differently. It gets grounded in me more. And I also am able to evaluate the shifts and changes I made in my life. And I can remember once after about 6 months of doing the work, I had an experience, caught my heart with a situation that had come up in front of me. And I realized I've changed in that area. I don't respond or react like I used to. And I'm at peace now in that area of my life. And that stuff doesn't bother me anymore. And once you taste that, you realize all you do is want more. It becomes so settling and so peaceful and so alluring that that's what you want in your life. That's the person that you want to become. And so it becomes that it pulls at you to keep doing the work once you taste it and you're ready for it.
That's correct. It's all about like shifting from. Oh, I'm sorry. I was just going to say, you're shifting from like reacting in automatic pilot, right? And now you're more sitting there on an active part, determining how you want to perceive things and respond to them. It's a very different thing.
I've added this new little short clip to the workshop, and it's out of the movie The Matrix, and it says where Morpheus explains the Matrix to Neo. And it's the clip, you know, they're walking down this very busy street that's like in New York City. And all these masses of people are moving by him. And Morpheus is telling Neo, this is the Matrix. This stuff isn't real. And these people, they're all plugged into the Matrix. And our job is to help them unplug from the Matrix and move into the real world. And then he makes a comment. And he says, not everybody is ready to be unplugged. And it's like, not everybody is going to be ready to go through this shift and change in the process. Not everybody is ready to make the shift into the heart consciousness world. But for those of us, I would say the vast majority of you that have come to my workshops, the vast majority of you that are very faithful in listening to these programs, you get it. And you're being lured, enticed, pulled in, or drawn to this means you're ready. You're the ones that are ready to be unplugged. You're the ones that are ready to make the shift and change. And you're the ones that we get to move in this together as a collective and display to others by just living our everyday lives that are so different that it creates the change for humanity. That we basically get to help unplug the world from the coming transhumanist agenda. Because that's the Matrix world, in so many words.
That's what's coming up.
Yep. It's really interesting because in that clip, you know, Morpheus is saying to Neo about how, you know, you get the agents and that how they're false, they're artificial intelligence agents, and they can, you know, basically go through walls and all this kind of stuff and dodge bullets and everything. And he says to, you know, to Morpheus says to Neo that you'll learn how to do that. And then and Neo says to Morpheus, are you telling me I'm going to learn how to dodge bullets? And Morpheus says, no, I'm telling you the day will come when you won't have to dodge the bullets.
There you go. Mm-hmm.
You see? And that's what this does for us.
Mm-hmm.
In this artificial intelligence world, in this holographic illusion world, we always have bullets that are being thrown at us, various types of bullets. Different sorts and different kinds, whether it's thoughts or it's physical issues or it's problem people or whether it's lack of money, whatever. These are all the bullets that are being thrown at us. But when we learn how to develop this heart consciousness, sovereign, integral, behavioral lifestyle, we won't have to dodge any bullets. Why? Because you just rise above them. You rise above the world that the bullets are existing in, is what you do. And we won't have to dodge any bullets. And that day's coming for us, as long as we do the work.
Well, that's right, because Neo had several initiations as he was learning who he really was. And so that if we look at that way, especially as you mentioned, people are listening to the show or people are already doing their work and really understand what we're talking about. As they face the difficulties, rather than responding it to with a negative emotion or self-pity or anger or fear, we can say, wait a minute, I'm learning how to dodge bullets. That eventually I don't need that lesson anymore. So when you have that heart-centered approach, you start realizing, and when you realize that really the internal reality is what's true, you start kind of dancing with the universe. And, you know, sometimes you're with a good dance partner, and then sometimes you're one with steps on your toe. But you remain gracious throughout because it's a dance, isn't it? And so the heart consciousness makes you also very resilient.
It does. Yes, that's a great illustration.
Mm-hmm. I think so, and we need to be. Mm-hmm.
Well, is there anything else we want to add to this tonight?
I think not. I think maybe do you want to leave some time for callers to maybe ask some questions if they want to press one? Or
yes.
What do you think?
We've only got one person on the list, and that's the very first person at the very top. And we don't know if they're going to want to even come on the air. But, folks, if you want to come on the air, if you want to ask questions or make comments, this is a good time. And that call-in number is 515-605-9356. Again, 515-605-956. Press 1 on your touchtone phone, and that will let us know that you basically want to go ahead and come on the air and make a comment or ask a question. So, right now we only got one person. So I'll just go into that person, and we'll see if he wants to basically come on the air. It's the very person that we've had here from the very beginning of the program, and it's an individual from area code 610. Area code 610, this is Dave. You're on the air. Did you have any questions or comments tonight? And I don't think they did, because I'm not hearing any response from them at all. I think they probably touched one at the very beginning and didn't realize what they did. Ah, we just had a new one come up, and I'll go ahead and take that one. It's from area code 307. And, folks, you'll be right there at the beginning of the line. There won't be much of a wait if you want to call in. So, okay, area code 307. You're here on the air. What can I help you with tonight?
Hi, Dave. My name is Vivian. I have a quick question. I'm not sure if you're going to be able to answer, but I'm going to ask it anyway, and maybe you can, if you can't, maybe you can send me where I can find the info. Back at the beginning of the year, I invested in the foundation for cryptocurrency that Jason was, and I've not heard anything back. Do you have any info on that?
Go ahead and send me an email, and then I will forward his email to you that you can get in touch with Jason.
Okay.
And, you know, send me an email at thesedonaconnection@msn.com. It's an email that's on the website. And then remind me of this call. And then what I'll do, I'll give you the information to get in touch with him.
All right. I really appreciate it. Thanks for all you do. And it's a wonderful ride. Thank you, Dave.
Thank you very much. Okay. All right.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Well, we didn't have anybody else, so I guess that's it for tonight, Blanca. Are you there? Hello, hello. Blanca, where'd you go?
So rude to talk, and you're muted.
Yeah, well, we didn't. That was it. We don't have anybody else tonight. So I guess we're ready to be done tonight with the program.
That's right. Well, I just hope that, you know, because we did have people with us throughout the show. So, folks, thanks for sticking with us. And hopefully a lot that we said verified what you've been working on and inspired you to continue, because you're definitely on the right track. And we're all part of a team that's going to usher in the new. And we're the team that's going to actually produce the energy to see these funds come through. So I just want to say thank you.
Tonight is one of those programs that will be a reference program. It will be a program that in the future you're going to want to listen to. It's going to be a program in the future you're going to refer other people to, because it's one thing to get some money. It's going to be okay. How are you going to free yourself from this transhumanist agenda influence? And tonight will be one of those reference programs that you'll want to save. So, okay. Anything else there, my dear?
I think that's it.
I guess we're ready to go then, and we'll see you all next week.